Blog Talk Radio.
You, I fight myself, I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, blood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines, the ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray for me.
Welcome to the Marty Smith Show. We got a lot to talk about, certainly politics and some other good things. And maybe not so. Depends on your perspective.
Trying to figure out where the President of the United States actually stands on Vladimir Putin. In an interview last night on CBS, President Trump flip-flopped again, claiming that he now believes Putin is responsible for Russia's interference in the 2016 election, but the president refused to say if Putin was lying when he denied that Russia was behind the election attack.
We also learned this morning from a new report in the New York Times that 2 weeks before the inauguration, then-President-elect Trump was shown highly classified intelligence indicating that Vladimir Putin had personally ordered the attack on the U.S. election to sway the outcome. Just moments ago, President Putin commented on this summit with President Trump. The Russian leader told his own ambassador that certain forces in the United States were trying to undermine the success of his summit. And what are these forces that he is referring to? Joining us now, someone who knows an awful lot about this subject, an awful lot about world issues, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. She is also the author of Fascism, A Warning. Madam Secretary, thank you so much for being with us. I want to get your big picture. Hey, since you have such insight into the world. Just big picture, what's the impact of the last few days from the president's appearance in Helsinki side by side with Vladimir Putin to these 2 days of conflicting explanations about what went on?
Well, the impact internationally is that everybody wonders what is going on in the United States. He has managed to confuse everybody. But I think the thing that worries me most is that he's confused about what he's confused about, because there's absolutely no logic to what he's been saying. And I was in Europe a couple of weeks ago, and already then there were a lot of questions, and where was the United States, what was going to happen at NATO, how did he feel about Europe? And I think the issue really is we do not have any idea. And I think what is most dangerous at the moment is the fact that nobody on our side was in the meeting that we had with President Putin. And President Putin and his people are already putting out that they are going to be implementing something, and we don't know what it is. President Putin, if you notice, in the pictures had a pad and something to write with. I don't think that we have no way of knowing whether President Trump took any notes. And I can bet you that the Russians had some way of listening to knowing that everything that went on, and I don't think our people have a clue of what was decided.
In fact, the Washington Post reports this morning that senior military officials have been scrambling the last few days to try to understand what was agreed to in that room, and they can't come up with any answers. Is that unusual? You've been there. Is that unusual for senior officials in the U.S. government not to know what was agreed to in a meeting between world leaders?
Unusual would be a stunning way of saying this, because I've never heard of anything like this. And the whole point of our government, and I teach about decision-making, and I was a part of it at certain states. We are an old country. We know how to make decisions. There is a system, but it requires some kind of contact and truthfulness between the person who has the conversation and those who are supposed to carry it out. And now that we know that the president doesn't know the difference between a negative and an affirmative and double negative, it's very serious, because we have no idea what he said. And so am I worried? I am definitely worried. I used to say I'm an optimist who worries a lot. I am worrying more.
You say that this administration is a gift that keeps on giving to Vladimir Putin. What do you mean?
Well, I think a perfect example, actually, I was listening earlier, I'm on a Negro. Part of the issue there is this is a country that wanted to be a part of NATO. There was a coup there because the Russians did not want them to have that role. And now what has happened is the gift is that the Russians are playing games in the Balkans and trying to get them to be much more part of the former Russian group of people that were supportive of them. And this is a gift to Putin that all of a sudden Montenegro, who have provided troops to help in Afghanistan, are now being questioned about whether we would defend them, which we're supposed to do under Article 5 of NATO. That is a gift to Putin.
President Trump ran on this agenda of America first. He went over to Europe talking about projecting American strength. Do you think the net result of his appearance and his meeting with Vladimir Putin, and again, the resulting explanations that have come from it, you believe it projects strength to the world?
I really am sorry to have to say this, because it doesn't. It projects complete confusion. And America's power, which I believe in, has really reflected our views about what we see as our role in the world, how do we operate with our allies, how are decisions made, what is the rationale behind the things that our president says, and none of that is evident. And he takes credit for things that all of a sudden NATO is more powerful than it was, and at the same time undermines the whole concept with his comments about Montenegro, because I think that I'm beginning to think that he simply does not understand the connection of one thing to another.
Well, I don't know whether they understand the connection or not, because I have not heard over the course of the campaign and his presidency a solid commitment. He paid lip service to it in NATO last year and again this year to the idea of mutual defense, but it's not something he certainly dwells on. So it's not clear to me that it is something he firmly, solidly believes in, especially given what he just said about Montenegro.
Well, I think that's true, and I think that he takes, quote, pride in the fact that he has now bullied people into saying that they're going to pay more, when that also just shows a lack of understanding about how NATO works. And United States startup and the region, because it adds to our strength and in terms of developing what has to happen in the world generally in terms of the international system and protecting those that are on our side.
But do you think it is a good thing for the nations who are part of NATO to start spending more in their own defense? That was agreed to back in Wales that by 2024 they'd be spending 2% of their GDP on their own defense. That is something you support?
Absolutely. No question about it. And when I was in office, I used to say that NATO is not a philanthropic organization. You have to participate. You have to be ready to participate. It's just the language that goes with things and kind of the taking credit and bullying and really confusing people. I think that's the only word I can use about what's going on. I think I've used every adjective I can think of to describe what's going on, and it is indescribable.
I want to ask you about Mike McFaul and something that happened yesterday. Sarah Sanders, the White House press secretary, acknowledged that President Trump, behind closed doors with Vladimir Putin, and again, we don't know for sure what was discussed, but Sarah Sanders told us that the President of the United States did discuss with Vladimir Putin the idea of perhaps making Mike McFaul or turning him over for questioning by Russian investigators. And Sarah Sanders said that when they have an announcement to make on this, they would let us know. Again, you were Secretary of State, you oversaw the State Department embassies all around the world. The idea of making a former U.S. ambassador available or turning him over for Russian questioning, your reaction?
Outrageous, because the ambassadors are there representing the United States. We have to be supportive of them. It is the whole process of diplomacy. And this not only undermines Michael Fall, who is really an incredibly good and smart diplomat and somebody who understands Russia, but every diplomat now, because the jobs are very hard, and it is the job of the State Department and the Secretary of State and the President of the United States to stand behind our ambassadors and not just kind of put them out there for bait. I think it's outrageous.
You talk about the language, and that's something I want to delve into a little bit more here, because on this subject, for instance, Sarah Sanders says it's up for discussion, we'll let you know when we have more. And so often we've been told by people on Twitter and elsewhere, you know what, we should pay attention to things that the White House says the president is considering. We can only pay attention to the actions. Look at the actions. Again, you were a key player in the world of diplomacy. Do the words matter? Should we be ignoring the words, do you think?
Well, you can't ignore the words. I think that everybody listens to what the United States says and kind of tries to parse the words, figure out what really has been meant. Obviously, the actions are the most important aspect of it, but before the actions, there's an awful lot of kind of analyze what really has been said. And all I can tell you is, not just from my own time in office, but just recently, I have, one of the things that's hard is when you're in a foreign country and you're a former diplomat, not to be critical of your president. I mean, you have to be careful, but after a while, everybody's credibility is on the line. If we can not explain what the president is saying, and it is very hard to figure it out. And so words do matter.
You just mentioned you've been talking to leaders all around the world here. I've heard you talk about the fact that you know Vladimir Putin is someone that you met with and work with right now. What does he make of this? Put yourself in his head right now. We just did get this statement. He was talking to his own ambassador, talking about the fact that he thinks his meeting with the president has been undermined by Democrats in the media here. What does Vladimir Putin really think about this meeting?
Well, just look at his body language. I mean, first in the meeting where he was kind of sitting back and being bored, but during the press conference, you could just kind of see looks that he was on his face. But I also do know the following thing. He is smart. He is a former KGB agent. He, when we were with him, he was the one who didn't speak some notes, but he always took notes. He is tough and smart, and frankly, he has played a weak hand very well because he's got help from some people in the United States in terms of kind of, as I said, President Trump is really gift in terms of following out what I think is Putin's plan, which is to separate us from our allies and make it more difficult for America to be the leader of the free world.
Do you think he has something on President Trump?
I have no idea, but I do think that he knows how to play him. And there is this kind of flattery business, or I find it so peculiar, having been in meetings with an American president, President Clinton, and how you can get along. You got along with
is a pretty tough when things change, having to tell it like it is. And because we have no idea what went on in that very long, almost 2-hour meeting, that's what I'm really worried about at this point. What is the lead out? And the fact that people have to say we're still thinking about what's coming out of it, and meanwhile, President Putin, at least what I've heard on the news, is already talking about how to, quote, implement what they decided in that meeting, and we have no idea.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome. You are listening to the Marty Smith Show. I really do think that the president has compromised himself. And the nation and the intelligence and law enforcement community at the investigative level. However, you have to start to look at this as if it is not some surreal play, some foreign event, but this is quite possibly what the intent of this presidency is. And the other thing that I pay close attention to is the blowback and pushback from Republicans who, at this point, I think just blindly, boldly support the president no matter what, without much discourse or discussion about the affect and intent of his policy. While you do have tax reform and new tax scenarios, most of that is going to be eaten up with the high cost of living based on these tariff wars, trade wars. So most of his policies are non sequiturs, whether it's immigration, his use of ICE, environment, you're going to end up with diminishing returns. There's no way not to. His approach to NATO is obvious. It is about weakening America's stance globally so that one entity has greater ability to control it. The guy the president is planning for his next 4 years and I think that what has been consistently missed, whether it's Helsinki or any of the stuff that comes out of the president, what has really been consistently missed is that to those of us he's talking to, we have forgotten to hold him and any of the establishment accountable in the moment, whether you're parsing right from wrong or looking at plain facts versus fake facts, assuming that alternative facts and redispositioning and rethinking of what you know to be true is truth is at the core. I think sinister is a mild word to describe this presidency. The word I would have to most describe where I think this president is truly borderline fascist, dictatorial, and incompetent on top of it. This is the Marty Smith Show.
Thank you. walking to the sea. Crowds of people wait for me. Seagulls scavenge, still ice cream. Worries vanish within my dreams.
Thank you.
And of course, we are having technical difficulties.
Can't afford the time, even if you're running out of breath. Way to the world doing lots of reps. Time to get this generation last one and then the next two out of debt. And they gon' pay you back with respect. Just stick to the plan, still we can't chill. Back when I rocked the white and blue Grand Hill, I realized there's no dream that I can't feel. I manifested all while I'm the man still. Voices in my head attacking what I'm thinking. Bullets to the head might be the way to free it.
If I leave my body, I could free the spirit.
Swear to God, my death of fear just keep on shrinking. Wishing I could go back to the 90s, back when I was dreaming. Me and my dog was on a mission like we Kellen Keenan. Early 2000s, Detroit might as well been in hell with demons. Wondering when I started losing it, then losing grit. Feeling like I'm in the middle of the ocean. You either drown or canoe through it. Voices in my head till I'm used to it. Some of me to losing, some help me maneuver through it. When I talk to myself, I'm confused on who's who. I know in life you either blow it or blew it. And at the end of life, it's gonna feel like you flew through it. I just hope I did not cut the voices in my head.
Why? even though he continues to answer questions after he said no, he does not believe Russia is continuing to target the U.S., something that is in complete disagreement with the U.S. intelligence community. So, well, right now, the president is still maintaining that he is going to be tough on Vladimir Putin, but also adding he doesn't know what all the fuss is about.
You know, it's interesting because the White House also says that President Trump is considering a truly shocking proposal for Russia to interrogate Americans, including a former U.S. ambassador in Moscow, a proposal put forward by Vladimir Putin. What's the reaction within the administration to that idea?
Wolf, it is an idea that the State Department is calling absurd, but that the president himself said he believes was an incredible offer from Vladimir Putin. The Russian president supposedly proposed to President Trump letting Special Counsel Robert Mueller question the 12 Russian military intelligence officers who were indicted for interfering in the election in exchange for Russians being able to question some American officials who they say have interfered in their affairs. Now, that is simply something that is unheard of, Wolf, but yesterday, when the White House was asked about the idea of this actually happening, Sarah Sanders didn't rule it out and instead said the president is going to discuss it with his team and then they would get back to us. That is an astonishing answer, Wolf, and it just simply is something that is not likely to happen, but the idea that the White House can't just rule it out as the State Department has done, of course, administration's State Department is just simply another confusing event regarding Russia here at the White House.
Yeah, it's truly shocking that you even consider recommending that Mike McFaul, former U.S. ambassador to Russia, be allowed to be questioned by the Russians. It's truly shocking indeed. Caitlin, thank you very much. We have lots to discuss. Joining us right now, the staff writer for the New Yorker, Adam Mentis, a former member of President George W. Bush's National Security Council, Michael Allen, former assistant attorney, U.S. assistant attorney, Tim Whaley, and our chief political correspondent, Dana Bash. Dana, let's quickly talk about this. The White House is considering allowing Mike McFaul, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, who served for 5 years in the government, to be questioned by Putin's regime. What's that all about?
I don't think it's the White House considering it. I don't think it's the administration considering it. I think it's the President of the United States not saying no. And his press secretary, because of that, not being able to say no, because he speaks for him and he's watching the press briefing. And about 45 minutes, a little under, the United States Senate is going to pass a resolution that has been proposed by the Democratic leader, saying under no circumstances would or should or could a U.S. ambassador or a U.S. Member of the diplomatic corps be allowed to be interrogated by Vladimir Putin or anybody in Russia. The fact that the Republican leadership is allowing, as toothless as it is, a resolution for the Congress and for the Senate to be on record saying this tells you all you need to know.
Yes, former assistant U.S. attorney, have you ever seen the White House considering allowing a retired diplomat to be questioned by a hostile government?
No, it's absolutely astonishing. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. And the question really now has to do with how is the system going to hold people accountable for this kind of uncompromised position with respect to the interests of the United States. And the fact that Congress is stepping up publicly in connection with some of the things the president's doing, with the statements he made in Helsinki, in addition to this resolution, frankly gives me some hope that our system is actually going to function to hold people accountable in a situation where clearly, there's no question this president is not putting the interests of the United States and American citizens first. And hopefully it won't break under the weight of this kind of problem at the upper echelons of government.
My own suspicion, Michael Allen, is that the president doesn't like the former ambassador because he appears a lot on TV and he makes comments critical of the current president, and that may be one of the reasons he's open to this possibility.
I think so. I think Putin put this to him in part because it seemed to have some political attractiveness to it. Hey, you know what? Obama's people made a mistake. Don't you want to let us question the Obama people? But I think it couldn't send a worse signal to the U.S. government. It would be akin to us sending a warfighter, a U.S. troop, over to a rogue regime for a show trial. It has to be knocked out by the White House today. I'm so glad the Senate is going to knock this down probably 99-0 here in a few minutes. And so people wonder when the other branches of government are going to start to perk up. I think they're beginning to see it today.
Adam, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think also what Putin was doing in some ways was sort of taking advantage of Trump really just not having the experience to know that this is a non-starter. I mean, there's such deep distrust between our intelligence and law enforcement agencies and their agencies. Even though we cooperate in some ways, there is a fundamental distrust. And we're not going to be allowing them to question one of our former ambassadors. It's just it's something that would never be accepted. But frankly, maybe Trump, you know, because he talks about getting along with Russia, just didn't really understand how deep that distrust.
And you say he took advantage. He's playing the president. And that is really one of the many reasons, but one of the main reasons why the president's fellow Republicans are so upset about that performance in Helsinki, never mind what we absolutely know nothing about with regard to the two-hour private meeting, is because they are concerned because of the naivety of the experience or the desire that the president has made very clear to be so solicitous to this dictator in Russia that he explained.
You're to the Marty Smith Show.
Make it, boy, you gotta make it. You can save your hand, I ain't gotta shake it. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from him, no favors. Click too big, break, gotta break it. Cause these others low key with the snake and faking. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from him, no favors. No favors. What I need, no favors. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from him, no
I'm about
favors.
Getting the job done, boy, up every night. I'm about rolling the 7 when I toss up the dice. I'm about getting my logo all flooded with ice. I'm about taking the risk that might fuck up your life. Whoa. Find a point and shoot like camera crews in front of cameras too. Damn, Sean, what happened to the humble attitude? I'm like, niggas took the flow, but I'm still standing too. Thought I had the Midas touch and then I went platinum too. Motherfuck all your comparisons. I've been talking to God like that's my therapist. I'm African-American in America, ain't a hair shit. But a millionaire, 130, so he must be hearing shit. Die, 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 like I do this for the critters, eat a flint. Kids who get sit with lead, others get hit with the lead. From where they need a hand out, but they tell you put hands up. Only deals I had was from the Sam's Club. Now it's blue blood in my veins, though you know what I came for. Born in a world going where they told me I can't go. In my lane, no, I'm in the same boat as Usain Bolt. Get ahead by any means, so the head's what I aim for. When my grandma died, I realized I got an angel. Show me everything's a blessing depending on the angles. Look, I am the anomaly. Never needed favors or apologies. That's my new lifetime policy. Wood grain steering wheel. This bitch look like a pirate ship. How many hot verses till you bitches start acknowledging the pictures we've been painting? My nigga connected to a high power. How I know? Cause I don't write this shit. I think it, my nigga. Look, all I ever did was beat the odds. Cause when you try to get even, it just don't even now. Never stopping like we hypnotized. Watch what we visualize on the rise. Be the goat while we alive. When we die, we gon' be the guys.
Make it, boy, we gotta make it. You can save your hand, I ain't gotta shake it. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from them, no favors. Click too big, break, gotta break it. Cause these others low key with the snake and faking. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from them, no favors. No favors.
If she was flavor, I won't save her. No taste buds, hope later. Fuck you looking at, hater. I saw them eyes like an ass raper. Try to copy my swag like a cheating classmate. I'll be the last face you see before you pass when you get your fucking ass graded like a math paper. So ahead of my time, late means I'm early. My age is reversing. I'm basically 30, amazingly sturdy, zany and wordy, brainy and nerdy, blatantly dirty, insanely perverted, rapey and scurvy. They blame me for murdering Jamie Lee Curtis. Said I put a face in the furnace, beat it with a space heater, a piece of furniture, egg beater, thermos. It may be disturbing, what I'm saying is cringeworthy, but I'm urinating on Fergie. Call Shady, number 81, Shirley, I'm turning into the Aaron Hernandez. A rap state of emergency, the planet's having panic attacks. Brady's returning, matter of fact, I may be deserving of a pat on the back like a Patriots jersey. Inexplicable stomach growl from the pit of it, like a fucking terrier hitting it. Despicable, dumb it down, ridiculous, tongue is foul. Shoot off at the fucking mouth like a missile, a thundercloud. 100-pound pistol, pull the trigger, this gun'll sound, and you'll get around the digital underground.
And fuck Ann Coulter with a clan poster, with a lamppost or handle, shutter, a damn boat cutter, a sandal, a can no butter, a candle, rubber, piano, a flannel, sucker, some handsome butter, a banjo, and manhole cover. Hand over the mouth and no smother trample. Ran over the tramp with the Land Rover, the van, the Lambo, Hummer and Roadrunner. Go ham, don't nutter, go Rambo. Cutter, make an example of her. That's for Sandra Blanho and for Lando. Hannibal on the lamb, no wonder I am so stubborn. I'm anti, can't no government handle a commando. Your man don't want it, Trump's a bitch. I make his whole brain go under. And tell Dre I'm meeting him in L.A. White Bronco like Elway speeding. I'm about to run over a chick. Delray CD is. Female state beating him. Betcha they'll lay bleeding and yell wait pleading. But screaming is pointless. Like feeding Michelle A. helium. Leaving him pale face medium size well straight. Treating him like a cellmate CD. I'm climbing hell's gate. Bitch, I'm like your problems. Self-made. Meaning someone else's help ain't needed. Cause I'm a...
Make it, boy. You gotta make it, make it. You can save your hand, I ain't gotta shake it. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from him, no favors. Click too big, break, gotta break it. Cause these others low-key with the snake and faking. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from him, no favors. No favors. What I need, no favors. Everything lined up for the taking. And what I need from him, no favors.
I know you're feeling yourself right now, but I'm not sure she's the one. I would call the man.
Hey, I'm outside.
What are you doing here?
The police on the street had one mission, and that is to take him out.
How worried are you about the agreement, that whatever agreement may have been reached between Putin and Trump in private?
Well, I want to know what they were. Some may be good. I don't know. That's why Pompeo's coming. If there were some agreements reached between us and Russia that make sense, I will support those agreements. I have no idea what they are, but I do know this. The concept of allowing the Russians to interview a former ambassador of Russia, United States ambassador of Russia, is absurd. And the concept of letting American citizens being investigated for crimes that are just, I think, are jokes, is absurd. And I don't believe there's one member, I challenge you to find one member of the House and the Senate that thinks this is a good idea.
What would be the effect on the U.S. people not doing their job? It's kind of threatening over their head. This is an actual possibility.
If this were a rule, well, I'm actually not having a different view. I don't believe our diplomats are immune from being scrutinized in terms of their behavior. But in Russia, it's not a normal country. Would you like? We had relationships with them. So the whole point is that the administration's even entertaining this shows to me how naive they are about what's actually going on in Russia in terms of their legal system. Why not?
President Trump was that Vladimir Putin was directly involved with Russia now in the election. Yet you keep having all these walk backs. So I just thought, well, what happened yesterday? Asking you, like,
Here's what I'll say. You know, play the game of every day. What did I think? I'm going to judge him by his actions. So here's what I would hope to find: that you have a president who not only believes in the government, but acts on it. And time will tell. We haven't done enough yet, in my view, consistent threat, but I'll get back with you about what I think enough would look like.
Why not?
I think when it comes to Russia, it's been a bad week, and I think it's imperative that we understand that he's misjudging. I don't think he's taken as long as he should have been. He's right to say that Bush misread Putin's soul. He looked into his eyes and saw somebody that worked with him. John McCain said, you know, when I look into his eyes, I think KGB. He criticized Obama, I think rightly, for being weak in the face of Russian aggression. What I'm saying is he's not making the problem better, he's making it worse. And he has the potential to make it better, and I hope he will.
Would you support putting the American for Congress to testify?
What? American and Trump for the
And
absolutely. of the United States, by the way, and I can tell you there may be times when we need to do that. I can. How that would affect future presidents in terms of their ability to talk to foreign leaders. What I do expect is for the administration and the president eventually to settle remaining agreements, which I don't care what they're talking about. I care about what we do. You can talk to Putin all day long. Here's what I want to know. What did you agree to do with him and give us a chance to see if we think it makes any sense?
Do you think stronger talking about
Putin? I think he should have been stronger standing up for the fact that Putin has been a big in the past and still doing it in the future. I know it's difficult. He's somewhat diplomatic. You're standing right by the guy. We have to deal with him. I don't mind him dealing with Russia. I just want to deal with Russia in a position of strength. What I said, this is a missed opportunity. We reinforced the narrative that's bad for us as a nation. It came across weak.
A whole host of headlines there from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham bashing the Trump administration, saying President Trump misjudged Vladimir Putin, said it's been a bad week when it comes to Russia. He also said, look, Russia is not a normal country. And he said the White House even entertaining the idea of allowing Russian agents to interrogate Americans. White House Ambassador to Russia, former Ambassador Michael McFarlane, is naive. It's naivete on the part of the Trump administration when it comes to Russia. And he said he misread Putin's soul. We're going to get our reporter, Myra Rogers, back up in a moment on that, but let me go back to Susan Glasser. Susan, you also heard Lindsey Graham there say, in no world would he entertain agreeing with Tina, the translator, who was in the woman translating, who was in this meeting with Vladimir Putin and with President Trump. What's your read?
Senator Graham, you sometimes been a critic and sometimes, you know, been very supportive of some foreign policies, not being supportive at all of what happened this week when it comes to President Trump and Russia. But what I'm struck by is the fact that even Senator Graham, who is frequently in contact with the White House, has no idea whatsoever what Donald Trump privately agreed to. And when meeting with Vladimir Putin just today, President Putin was actually also concerned. There were apparently private agreements made. That's the term he used.
Yes, it's the term that Anatoly Antonov, the Russian ambassador to the United States, used. Verbal agreements were made with President Trump. How come President Trump hasn't briefed his government? How come President Trump hasn't briefed senators? He hasn't briefed allies. The State Department, the Pentagon appear to be entirely unaware of the major substantive and policy issues. So here we are, days later, debating President Trump's public comments at that press conference in Helsinki without people really knowing. It suggests to me the government has stopped functioning in any normal, meaningful way on foreign policy. This is not how any government works, Democrat or Republican. That's quite a statement. Susan Glasser, important contact with someone who knows this incredibly well. Thank you for being here.
This is the Marty Smith Show, and there you have it. Everybody is weighing in, and I had a great conversation with my good buddy GRX and with him, and that was prior to the last 2 days of knowledge. This was right after the Helsinki. Damn, I dare say I was right, GRX. We got a problem on our hands. And so if you're looking at it with plain eyes, you have protocol procedures. Sure, yeah, you want to change, shake the shit up, Mr. President. But there's a way in which you can't just enter into agreements willy-nilly at your own request without – there was nobody to record the interview. All you're left to believe is what these two individuals, Putin and Trump, said. Come on, folks. But not in a democracy. So think through it. Just think through it. I mean, think through it.
We're getting around. It's proven.
You know what the best really gives you better mileage than Chevrolet Petron. Chevrolet Petron. For your car.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anne Marie Green. For the very first time since taking office, President Trump is publicly holding his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, responsible for meddling in the 2016 election. Now, in an interview with CBS Evening News anchor Jeff Floor, the president said he told Putin to stop meddling when the two leaders met in private. But critics say the president should have confronted Putin during their news conference in Helsinki. Instead, the president gave way to Putin's denial of election meddling. A day later, the president walked that statement back by saying he supports the conclusion that Russia did interfere. Now, a CBS News poll finds less than one-third of Americans approve of the way President Trump handled the meeting, but 68% of Republicans approve, compared to only 8% of Democrats. Here's what the president told Jeff Gore about that meeting.
He said you agree with U.S. intelligence that Russia meddled in the election in 2016.
Yeah, and I've said that before. Yeah. I've said that numerous times before. And I would say that that is true, yeah.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. You hold him personally responsible.
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So, certainly, as the leader of the country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
What's that on?
Very strong on the fact that we can't have medicine, we can't have any of that. Now, look, we're also living in a grown-up world. Really strong statement. You know, President Obama supposedly made a strong statement. Nobody heard it. What they did hear is the statement he made to Putin's very close friend, and that statement was not acceptable. Didn't get very much play, relatively speaking, but that said, it was not acceptable. But I let him know we can't have this. We're not going to have it. And that's the way it's going to be. We had a very strong meeting on so many different points. And, you know, and I said, and I campaigned on it, getting along with Russia and China, by the way, and other countries is a very good thing, not a very bad thing.
But he denies it. So he believes U.S. intelligence agencies. If Putin won.
You are listening to the Marty Smith Show.
I reclaim my manhood.
I have more energy and more strength than ever before. I have greater focus and ambition. I feel like there's nothing in life I can't overcome. But it wasn't always like this. Let's wind the clock back a second, because in the prime of my youth, I didn't feel like a man.
I don't want to get into whether or not he's lying. I can only say that I do have confidence in our intelligence agencies as currently constituted. I think that Dan Coats is excellent. I think that Zuma is excellent. I think we have excellent people in the agency. And when they tell me something, it means a lot.
Coats says the threat is ongoing. Do you agree with that?
Well, I'd accept that. I mean, he's an expert. This is what he does. He's been doing a very good job. I have tremendous faith in Dan Coats. And if he says that, I would accept that. I will tell you, though, it better not be. It better not be.
Have you talked to Coach since you got back?
Yeah, I have, sure.
What did he say?
I just talked to him, speaking. He agrees with the statement you made. And I go along with him. He's a very he's a great guy. He's a great patriot. He loves his.
Patriot.
Country, and he's only going to say what he truly believes. And the information that's given to him is that.
Do you think any intelligence agencies, U.S. intelligence agencies, are out to get you?
Well, certainly in the past, it's been terrible. You look at Brennan, you look at Clapper, you look at Hayden, you look at Comey, you look at McCabe, you look at Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page. You look at other people in the FBI that have been fired or that are no longer there. Certainly, I can't have any confidence in the past, but I can have a lot of confidence in the present and the future because it's getting to be now where we're putting our people in. But in the past, you know, I have no confidence in a guy like Brennan. I think he's a total lowlife. I have no confidence in Clapper. You know, Clapper wrote me a beautiful letter when I first went to office, and it was really nice. And then all of a sudden, he's gone haywire because they got to him and they probably got him to say things that maybe he doesn't even mean. But no, I certainly don't have confidence in past people. You look at what's happened. Take a look at all of the shenanigans that have gone on. Very hard to have confidence in that group.
On Saturday, you told us your doctrine is strength and achieving peace through strength.
Right.
After Helsinki, Lindsey Graham said you showed weakness.
Let me just, I totally disagree. I think I did great at the news conference. I think it was a strong news conference. You have people that said you should have got up to him, you should have walked up and started screaming in his face. You're living in the real world, okay? Nobody's been as tough with Putin as I have. If you look at all of the other things that I've done with respect to Russia, that nobody else has done, including sanctions, the biggest sanctions ever imposed on Russia. It's just a fake news deal. They love this narrative. Even you, you're wasting a lot of time talking about Russia. Nobody has been tougher on Putin and on Russia than Donald Trump.
CBS News anchor Jeff Gore joins us now with more on his interview with the president. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I have a ton of questions for you. You know, we heard the president say to you that he had strong words in that meeting in regards to Russian meddling. He didn't give specifics about what he said, but did you ask him, well, why didn't he repeat that when he was on the world stage in front of the cameras and Putin was standing right beside him?
And we may never get those specifics. Yeah, I think it was a different tone that we saw at the news conference after, as opposed to what we saw you yesterday. We may never get that readout from what happened inside that meeting because it was just the president and President Vladimir Putin and the translators. The White House has not given a readout, and neither one of these leaders has discussed in depth what they talked about. The president did say yesterday that he did speak to Vladimir Putin about meddling, about North Korea, about Israel, and about nuclear weapons. Beyond that, not too many details.
Hmm. How did he feel about all the criticism that he received, particularly from Republicans? It took them a while, but then there was sort of a groundswell of criticism.
He said, he said he didn't understand what the fuss was about, you know, immediately after the news conference, and that's why they clarified and said wouldn't when he was talking about blaming Russia for meddling in the 2016 election. I think traditionally, there has been this tendency to associate the word meddling and collusion. And then I think there's an attempt to make a from folks close to him to make a distinction between the two. In other words, there could have been meddling, which all U.S. intelligence agencies agree there was and still is, but there may not have been collusion. Not saying there was one way or the other. I think there's an attempt by some for him to make that distinction. He did on Tuesday and he did yesterday.
In your interview, he talked about former intelligence officials James Clapper and John Brennan. He said that John Brennan was kind of a good guy, and then they got to him, whoever he sort of means by that. He has, it appears, some disdain for these men, clearly valued their opinion when he was choosing Gina Haspel, right? He valued that they felt highly or had that high opinion of her. Can you talk any more about this disdain and where it comes from?
I think he feels stung and betrayed by them. Yeah, there is a disdain. There is absolutely no love lost between the president and some of these former members of the intelligence community because he believes that they were either out to get him during the election itself or they're out to get him now.
You pressed him on the Mueller investigation.
I asked him about Mueller. I asked him whether his mind had been changed about whether or not he was willing to sit down for an interview, whether things have changed in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't address that specifically. And then I said, but are you willing to sit? He said, yes, my lawyers are working on that.
he can just sort of defer to his lawyers over and over again, but reiterated that he was always willing to.
Which has been the line for some time.
Right.
And I think some of the communications, well, you know, he wants the investigation to wrap up. Those around him want the investigation to wrap up. The question is, will it wrap up before he actually agrees, whether or not he does, to an interview?
I want to circle back, actually, to the question that I asked you before about John Brennan. You said that there's a feeling that, and James Papin, that these people are out to get him. Why would they be out to get him? What's at the core of that, does he think?
Because they disagree with his politics, his outlook, his approach, all of it. I think that there's, people don't have to get along in politics,
that's
right?
True, but you don't have to be out to get anyone either.
Yeah, well, I think the president certainly takes a lot of it very personally.
Yeah.
In fairness, John Brennan and James Clapper and some others have said some very strong things on Twitter and in other places. And so that war of words between them and the president continues.
Mm-hmm. But these are men who have worked for different administrations. They have, at least in their professional life, shown themselves not to be politically biased or to be political in any way. Obviously, the president doesn't see it that way.
In the past, I think he would certainly say they are now.
Interesting. Okay, you asked him about the 2020 presidential election and who he would like to run again.
I did. He said, so there's been some question here about, he obviously formed the campaign, was looking forward to 2020, but his latest comments were, people want me to run. I said, do you really want to run? Mm-hmm. You say people want you to. He said, yes, I'm having fun. I want to run. I said, Joe Biden said he's going to make a decision by January about whether to run. He called Joe Biden a dream.
Okay, wait. Let's play a little bit of this so people can hear.
Let me ask you about 2020. Who do you think your Democratic opponent will be? Joe Biden says he'll make a decision by January.
I dream of that Biden. That's a dream. Look, Joe Biden ran three times. He never got more than 1%. And President Obama took him out of the garbage chute, and everybody was shocked that he did. I'd love to have a seat Biden.
And a lot of people have said that sort of Biden's style and the president's style are similar in certain ways. And Biden's this sort of straight talker, got a little swagger. You remember, it was a running joke, how the two sort of old men were going to mix it up.
Like,
I think Biden's
doing
take him outside. Yeah. So why do you suppose he's sort of chopping at the bit at the prospect of running against Biden?
Well, there's two stories that we talk about here. So that would not lack for drama, that race, for sure. He would embrace that.
Do you talk about any other possible competitors or anything else about the 2020 election?
Biden was the first one we mentioned, and he certainly was more than happy to talk about that.
Very interesting. Jeff Glore, fantastic interview. Great insight into the president. Really appreciate you coming by.
Okay, sure.
Folks, you're listening to the Marty Smith Show, and it is going down in Washington and all around us. So hopefully most of you have settled in on some viewpoints which will assist you in developing some way to look at this. It's even hard to even say. We're in such an extreme place with this presidency, you can't even say look at it normally because everybody's politicized. As I listen to Senator Graham, I'm like, you don't see the obvious problems? Yeah, but I like some of the things he's doing. Well, I see the bigger picture. He's stroking you on the left and slapping you on the right. And at the end of the day, the strokes will become less in time and the slaps will be quicker and more voracious. Something to think about, folks. I am a Republican. He won't be getting my vote. I don't think that there's anyone in this administration who ran for public office that I would vote for. As a result of when I first, back in 2015, when everybody was all here, 18, 17, 21 Republican candidates, I really looked at Rand Paul as a potential candidate. He's so far out of my view of conservatism and republicanism, and just really, is that what you're thinking? You're always picking some offshoot argument to support some greater thesis that has more damage. And so the balance isn't there with Rand Paul. I'm just saying, I've gotten to a point where I don't see nothing but a thuggish, ruggish, bone type scenario here with this administration. This is the Marty Smith Show. I'm listening to this government. I don't know what's going on.
Drop that. You know it's time to move. Yeah, I know it's time to move. So grab one by the hand, you know what I'm saying? And throw up that hand.
Hey, yo, 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 throw y'all fingers up.
Dust down, dust down. Tell me, baby, are you lonely? Don't want to rush out, can help you if you're only. Let me touch it, but wrong love, tell me. Cause I get caught up in the life I live as hell. See, I never thought I'd see the day when I was calm down. You ain't heard, I've been on the clown and get around. That's my word, see you walking and you're looking good. Yes, indeed, got a body like a sex fiend. You're killing me with your attitude to match, right? Don't be phony, cause I hate it when you act like. You don't know me, I've been stressing in the spotlight. I want the fame, but the industry's a lot like a crap game, ain't no time for commitment. I gotta go, can't be with you every minute, baby. Another show, and even though I'm not.
Oh, yeah. It's all about you.
One time,
I'ma say it's all about you.
For the bitches that think it's all about
you. It's all about you. Drew Lennon in the house. With my boy Piz Knock, you know what I'm saying?
It's all about you.
Yeah, I'ma say it's all about you, but you're not lying, no. Yeah, yeah.
You probably book it as the last trick. Wanna laugh at how I got my ass caught up with this bad bitch? Thinking I had her, but she had me in the long run. It's just my luck, I'm stuck with fucking niggas for one. Wise decisions based on lies we live in. Scandalous times, games like my religion. You could be rolling with the thugs. Instead, you with this weak scrub looking for some love in every club. I see you staring like you want it. Well, baby, if you got it, better throw it. Let the liquor help you get a bonus. I'm still tipsy from last night. Bumping the walls as a pose. I think it's to the fast life. I try to holler, but you tell me you take it. Saying you ain't impressed with the money you make. Guess it's true what they telling me. Fresh out of jail like hell for a black celebrity. So that's the reason why I call. And maybe you with it. Fantasies of a sweating, can I hit it? Addicted to the things you do. It's still true what I'm saying, boo. If this is all.